If you would please, to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. You say, preacher, I didn't know that we had gotten that far. We haven't. We're just going to jump ahead tonight to one of my favorite psalms. And we're actually in Psalm 35. We will come back to that one and pick it up. And we'll come back to Psalm 91 several years from now at the rate we're going. And you'll have forgotten everything I've said tonight. And I'm already ahead of the game. Psalm 91. Notice the Bible says in Psalm 91 in verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Aren't you glad there's a secret place? I'm glad there's a place that we can go and we can hide ourselves. Of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome or the dreadful pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon, thou shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. I don't believe there's any greater name to know than the name of our God. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. G. Campbell Morgan said that Psalm 91 was the greatest possession of the saints. Charles Spurgeon made this statement. He said it's one of the most cheerful of the Psalms. But yet when you read this psalm, you find it fraught with danger. I want you to just work with me real quickly and maybe underline a few things. Notice in the latter part of verse 3, the word pestilence. Look down in verse number 5, you find the word terror and then arrow. You look down in verse 6 and you see pestilence and darkness and destruction and wasted. We don't know who wrote Psalm 91, but I can tell you this, he's in trouble. He's in a place of danger and difficulty. He begins to talk about all of these different areas of life that can come into our lives, that can bring heartache and pain. And so we find that he's struggling. Some have suggested that it's Moses that wrote the psalm. Others have given different names of individuals they believe it is. We're not told what it is, and we're really not told the story behind the psalm. We know that every psalm has a story, and we're really not told which one this is. If we assume that Moses wrote the psalm, he also wrote the psalm before it, which would be Psalm 90. I find it interesting that Psalm 91 finds its place in the fourth book of the Psalms. It's the Numbers Psalms. It has to do with the wilderness wanderings. When you look at the book of Numbers, it has to do with the wilderness wanderings of the people of God, the nation of Israel. They're there under the disciplinary hand of God. They turned back in unbelief. They failed to go in the promised land. And for 40 years, they're going to go through the barren, desolate wilderness. There's going to be thousands and thousands of funerals as that an entire generation of Israelites are going to be buried because of their unbelief against the God of heaven. But we also find that there's another generation in Numbers. It's the second generation that will go into the land of Canaan. Had Moses wrote the Psalm, many believe that both Psalm 90 and 91 are an exposition of Deuteronomy 33, verse 22. Listen to what it says. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I'm glad that God gives us some wilderness promises, aren't you? Listen, whenever you think about the wilderness, you think of something that's barren, it's desolate, it's dry, it's hard, it's dangerous. But the good news is that no matter where we are in the journey, that God is with us. Even during the time that God's hand of discipline was on His people, He did not forsake them. He was there in the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. God cared for them and met their needs. The manna continued to fall from heaven. The water came out of the rock. See, here's the good news. It doesn't matter whether you're in the good times or the tough times of life. You're never alone in the journey. Isn't that a blessing? Matter of fact, I want you to see that over in verse number 15. Notice he said, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Aren't you glad that God's with us in times of trouble? I believe the psalmist is working to move our eyes from what's around us and what befalls us to the one, the God, who's above us. He wants us to move our eyes off of the trouble and to have a heart of trust in the living God. I believe if I were to put a title, and I have at the top of my Bible, it would be this: My Hiding Place. Aren't you glad you have a hiding place tonight? I know that when I was a kid, we'd play hide and seek. Anybody play hide and seek when you was a kid? Sure you did. Did you ever have a secret hiding place that nobody could find you? And that you would run that place. I mean, you know what? They'd be calling out your name. They'd be searching for you. You'd be giggling because you knew that you were in that secret hiding place. Nobody knew where you were at. Matter of fact, my kids and their cousins was playing hide and seek, and one of my nephews and nieces found some pretty unique places to hide. Matter of fact, one of them, he crawled inside the dryer. The problem was my daughter found him and she began to tumble him in the dryer. My niece, and this was the dangerous part, she decided to hide in a cooler. Had no idea that when she went into it, that it would latch. She was in trouble. But aren't you glad that through search and hearing her cry out, we were able to find her and rescue her out of a very difficult and dangerous situation. I'm glad that we have a hiding place, dear children of God, tonight. A secret place. A place that we can go. Let's look very quickly, if we could, tonight. First of all, we have a hiding place from the trials and the troubles of life. Everybody has trouble. I have them. You have them. Everybody faces them in life. Jacob made this statement to Pharaoh. He said, "Few and evil." Doesn't mean that they were sinful or wicked. He was saying that few and evil are troublesome. Have the days of the years of my life been? Job, a man, when we think of his name, as suffering comes to our mind. And he said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Remind you on Sunday night that I was helping us to understand that troubles in life are really the norm. We all face difficulty and hardship and trials. That doesn't mean that every trial is a major crisis, but every day there are things that come our way into our lives, and we could call them trouble. Some of them are small. Some of them seem insignificant, but there are those times that we all face the crisis, isn't there? And we find the psalmist is in a time of crisis, and he begins to talk about his hiding place. And you're going to find that I'm glad that God has given us a hiding place. Doesn't matter whether a person's saved or unsaved, as long as we're living and breathing this side of heaven as the children of God, we're going to face trials. The unsaved face trials, the saved. Just because you are a recipient of the grace of God does not make you or me immune from the troublesome times of life. There's just going to be those times that we have hardship and hurt in our lives. And so we find that we have a place of refuge. Have a place of refuge. Notice, if you would please, in verse number 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And so he begins to talk about that his secret place is not so much a place as it is a person. Friend, listen, I'm going to tell you, there's no place you can go on planet Earth to run from your problems that they're not going to find you. I'm going to tell you, there may not be a safe place, but there is a safe person to whom we can run. Isn't that a blessing tonight? And you're going to find that God wants you to know His blessing in your life. God wants us to know Him. Matter of fact, you can't have peace without His person. And you can't have His resources without a relationship with Him. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. I want you to underline the little word, my. You're going to find it 3 times in that one verse. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. Listen, it's a word of relationship. It's a word of ownership. He's my God. Can you say that tonight? He's my God. He's my God. Not just a God or the God. He is my God. He's the one to whom we can run during those difficult times of life. Somebody said the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the writer of Proverbs said, the righteous runneth into it and is safe. You're going to find 4 different names for God in our text, and it's going to correspond with maybe some notes. First of all, you're going to see that we're His possession. Look again in verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Oh, what a wonderful name for God. He's the Most High. That means He's uppermost or supreme. There's no one higher than our God. Can I help you to understand tonight that God is higher than the struggles and the hurts and the pain and the difficulty? Aren't you glad that our God is higher tonight? He's the possessor of heaven and earth. That's the very first time that this name El Elyon, the Most High God, is used in Scripture. You find it in the days of Abraham when he's come back from the slaughter of the kings. And you're going to find that Melchizedek begins to remind him that he's the priest of the Most High God. And so, and Abraham, in a time of temptation, when the king of Sodom is trying to enrich him from the plunder of the kings of the battle that he had won. And he said, listen, you give me the people and you can have all the money. And Abraham said, I lift up my hand to the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. I will not take from a thread to a shoe latch. And I'm not going to take one thing, because I'm not going to let anybody say that the king of Sodom made me rich. Can I help us understand tonight that there's nothing this world has that God isn't greater than? Isn't that a blessing? And we find that it's a word of sovereignty. That God's, He doesn't just rule over all things, but He overrules all things. Do you realize, you're a child of God, that you're His possession tonight? He's your God. He belongs to you. But even greater than that, you belong to Him. And nothing can come into your life tonight or my life tonight that our Heavenly Father, that the Most High God, does not allow into our lives. You know what that reminds me? That no matter what comes my way, and I feel like my life might be out of control, He's always in control. But not only does it speak to us tonight of possession, but number 2, I want you to see provision. Look, if you would please, latter part of verse number 1. He said, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I like that word, Almighty. It's the word Shaddai, or the Hebrew name for God, Shaddai. He's the Almighty God. Used over 31 times in Scripture. It's always used of God. He's the nourisher, the strength giver. He's the satisfier. When you think about the possession, that speaks of ownership. That speaks of God's care in my life, that I belong to Him and that He's in charge of my life. That means I have direction for the journey. God's guiding me in this journey and in control. But when you come to this one, here's help for the journey. Do you see that? I mean, He's the God who is enough. He is the all-sufficient God. Hey, can we remind ourselves that 7 times in the Gospel of John, we're finding phrases where Jesus, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the water of life. I am. You know what He's saying? He's linking Himself to the great I am God of the Old Testament. He's saying that, listen, I am that I am. I am everything you need. That's what God's saying tonight. He's sufficient. Matter of fact, it was a great North Carolina preacher, Vance Havner, said that you don't realize that God's all you need until He's all you have. There's times in life that you'll find that He's all you have, and when that time comes, He's enough. He's enough. And so we find that here that we have not only His possession, but He gives us His provision. He supplies our every need. But then we have promise. Look if you would please in verse number 2. Here's the third name of God that's used in Scripture. It's the name Jehovah, Yahweh, Lord, all capitals in our King James Bible. Differentiating that particular name of God. It's the most frequent name of God. It's a name that was so holy, the Jews wouldn't even pronounce it. We don't even really know how to say it today, or how it's actually pronounced. We use the word Jehovah or Yahweh, but you're going to find in that day that the Jewish people, they didn't have any, they only had consonants in their language. They didn't have the E, O, I, O, and U's in their language. And so it would be YHWH would have been how it was spelled. And later they came and added the word, the other words to it, the vowels to it that would be Yahweh or Jehovah. It's the word, it's a covenant name of God. Matter of fact, you're going to find that it's the greatest name of God. He's the eternal, self-existent, ever-present, unchanging I Am. Aren't you glad that God is forever who He is? What God was, He is, and will always be. He is forever the same. And can I tell you, He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Oh, what encouragement that is. That God doesn't change. He's faithful. That speaks to me of His promise that God is going to care for us. I will say of the Lord, the God who's faithful. Can I tell you, I'm glad that God's faithful in the good times and He's faithful in the hard times. He never fails us. I was telling the Lord today how often I've failed Him in my life as a Christian, but He's never failed me. I was telling Him today how that there's times that I've let Him down, but He's never let me down. I know that I've dishonored the Lord, but God's never disappointed me. He's forever faithful. Can I tell you, dear Christian, no matter where you are on the journey, I'm going to promise you this, God's faithful. He's faithful. He will not fail us. But I want you to notice one other thing that He's going to talk about the secret place, that not only is it a place of possession and not only is it a place of provision, that God will give us exactly what we need. And you know what? We think a lot of times we think of need. We think in financial ways. We think of material things. We think of those things that you can touch, stuff. But can I help us understand tonight that there are needs in our lives that material stuff can never satisfy, can never fix, can never fulfill whatever it is that's going on in our lives. I'm glad for His peace and His grace and His mercy and His help. Aren't you glad that God's mercy endureth forever? His faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Thank God that our God has exactly what we need at every moment in life. He gives us His promise that He'll never fail us. And then lastly, it speaks to us of power. Look if you would please again in verse number 2. He said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He's my rock. He's my place of safety. My God, in Him will I trust. That's the Hebrew word Elohim, God. It's the creative name of God. It speaks of God's power, of God's might, that there's nothing too hard for God. He is the God who can. I thought about this. Not only is the one who guides me in the journey, not only is the one who supplies my need and helps me in the journey, but I find that in the name Jehovah, in the name Lord, that He is the He's the one who's faithful in the journey. And then when you come to this name, He's my God. I'm glad for that, aren't you? He's my strength for the journey. You ever feel weak? You ever just feel like you don't have enough to get through? You ever just feel like that you're just out of gas spiritually? There's just nothing left in the tank. Can I help us understand tonight? When we're weak, He's strong. He's the God whose strength. As is thy day, so shall thy strength be. God said, I'm enough. Oh, I'm thankful for our God tonight, aren't you? He's our secret place. He's the Most High who provides, who possesses me and I belong to Him. And He's in charge of my life and guides my life. He's the Almighty. He's the one who comes alongside me and supplies the need. I have His provision that never runs out. I'm glad that His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. His promise to us that He'll never fail. He'll be faithful in the journey. And then as the mighty God, as the creative God of the universe, the God who spoke the worlds into existence. That's my God tonight. And He has the power to strengthen me for the journey. Dear child of God, can I tell you what that means is no matter what comes your way, you and I are going to make it. We're going to make it. He'll see us through. He's going to talk about some foes in our text. Look, if you would please, in verse number 3, he said, "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler." That's the person that sets a trap for the bird. Alright, you ever felt like somebody setting a trap for you? I tell you what, you've got an enemy of your soul that's always trying to set traps for you. To deceive you, to drag you down, to entrap you in deception and sin. A noisome fowler. He talks about the snare of the fowler, the noisome pestilence, the difficulties of life, those things that bring fear to us. We talk about that more in the next point. I just want to tell you that God's bigger than your troubles. He's able to deliver thee. Isn't that a blessing? I like that phrase in verse number 2, "In Him will I trust." You know, that's a conscious decision. I don't always feel like trusting the Lord. There's times I feel like giving up. What about you? There's times we feel like giving in. The psalmist said, I'm going to make a conscious choice here. It doesn't matter what I feel or how I feel. Christian, you need to learn to sanctify your emotions. Your emotions will lie to you. You cannot trust how you feel. If you're led by your feelings, you're going to have an up and down Christian life. You're going to be on a roller coaster of highs and lows, and you're going to find more lows in your life than highs, because more often than not, we don't feel like we're on the mountaintop. We feel like we're in the valley, don't we? And if we don't learn to sanctify how we feel, God never tells me to feel Him. He tells me to trust Him. That God works in spite of my feelings. We're going to see something here in just a moment that I think is extremely important as it relates to this. And realize that I can't trust how I feel. I need to trust the One who's bigger than me. I need to fix my heart on Him. That's exactly what that phrase means when he talks about in Him will I put my trust, a conscious decision in Him. Will I fix my heart? God, I'm going to look to You. I don't care what is going on in my life. I don't care what I feel in my life. I don't care what it seems like is going on in my life. I'm going to put my trust in You. That's what he says. Christian, can I tell you, when the trouble comes, trust Him. How do I do that, preacher? We'll look back up in verse number 1. I'm going to deal with some words up there. First of all is the word dwell. You want to get into the secret place and find God's provision and power and help in your life, strength for the journey, then you're going to have to dwell. That's where the secret place, it's dwelling in fellowship. It's remaining close to God, being in His presence. Notice, you're not a guest. It's not I'm visiting. No, he said I dwell there. I dwell. That's where I live. I live in the secret. That doesn't mean I have to crawl into the closet and stay in the closet all day. No, I go through life, but yet there's a secret place. There's a place that maybe when you think about secret that no one knows about, that no one can find you. Can I tell you, dear child of God, if you want to know where that secret place is at, it's near to the heart of God. That's where it's at. And the closer I get to Him, the more I'm in the secret place of the Almighty. Dwelleth. And notice what happens. He said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide." That's the same word. It means to dwell under the shadow. It's in the secret place that we find His protection. It's in the secret place that we find His power. It's in the secret place that we claim His promises. It's in the secret place that we recognize that God's over all and that He's in control of our life and that God has this. that He's my shepherd, I shall not want. He has this. He's got it. It's bigger than me, but it's not bigger than my God. We have to consciously remember those things, because whenever we get into the trials and the troubles of life, it gets foggy there. We don't see clearly. We don't see plainly. The darkness comes and it hides His face. It's in those moments that faith has to take over and remember that God has this. Oh, aren't you glad that our God's in control tonight? That word shadow means protective, protection. Under the shadow of the Almighty. Under His protective care. I'm glad that God's protecting me tonight, aren't you? We find that word two times in our text about trust. You're going to find it down in verse number 3. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Fix your heart on. I'm just going to tell you, when answers aren't enough, there's Jesus. I want you to look at something else that I think is important. I talked about sanctifying your feelings. Look at verse number 4 again. He said, under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thy buckler. That protects us. That thy shield surrounds us. The shield, the buckler, is a smaller shield that protects all our refuge. He's our shield that shields us from that harms us. Aren't you glad that God's faithful? His truth. His truth. See, I can't trust my emotions, but I can trust His Word. I can trust His Word. I can live in His promises. Christian, one of the reasons I believe many Christians fall by the wayside, why they give up, is because they don't know His truth. If you don't know His Word, then you can't claim His promises. You can't know His truth. And it's in His truth. Can I tell you, it's in truth and not our imaginations. The Bible said them to cast down, just as you can't trust your feelings. You can't always trust your thinking. Your feelings will lie to your mind and make you think things that aren't true. That's why the Bible says casting down imaginations. You ever notice when the trouble comes, our minds go everywhere? Don't they? We think of the worst possible outcome that there can be, and that's where we choose to live, isn't it? I do it. You do it if you're honest. Satan puts imaginations in our mind. Our emotions lie to us. And we begin to have imaginations, things that aren't true. And if you're not careful, your imaginations will get the best of you spiritually. It'll cause you to falter and fail. It'll bring despair and depression and discouragement in your lives. It's an illusion. It's an imagination. It's not true. I need to live in His truth. That's where I have to live. It's a choice. It's a choice. Bringing every thought into captivity of Christ. A lot of times we think about that and we don't really comprehend what He's talking about. Every thought. That means I've got to win the battle for my mind. If I'm going to be in the secret place, if I'm going to find help and I'm going to let God calm my heart, then what I've got to do is these thoughts that aren't true, I've got to take them captive. I cannot allow them to remain in my mind. I cannot allow them to dig deep into my heart. I cannot allow them to begin to control my life. What I have to do is cast them down, take them captive to Christ, and listen, live by His truth. Not what I feel, not what I think. What did God say? That's where we have to live. Because there's when the peace comes. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I love verse number 4. Can we read it one more time? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. I believe he has the idea either of the eagle and her young, or maybe the chick and the mother hen. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful phrase that is. The story is told of a forest fire that swept through the bush near a mission station in the heart of Africa. After the fire passed by, a missionary walked down one of the trails to see the devastation that this fire had left in its wake. And when he did, he noticed a nest beside the road with the charred remains of a mother hen. Without thinking, he idly kicked that mother bird, that mother hen. And when he did so, the baby chicks ran out from under her burned carcass. The mother's love had taught the chicks that there was the place of safety underneath her wings, and she willingly gave her life out of her love for her children, out of the instinct that God had placed in her. She brought care. Aren't you glad that God tells us that we can dwell under His wings? We're safe in the arms of God. Can I tell you, there's no better place to be tonight than in the arms of God. We're safe in Him. He deliberately, out of a heart of love, gave Himself to the blazing fires of God's own wrath at Calvary, that we might shelter beneath His wings, that we might have an eternal refuge. Friend, can I tell you, hell's not in our future. Judgment's not in your future. Friend, listen, heaven is your future. Isn't that a blessing tonight? There's a day coming that all the trials, all the heartache, all the trouble, all that's going to be gone. But until then, we need to abide under His wings. We need to be in the place of safety, the place of shelter, the place of God's protection. I'm glad that He shields us. I'm glad that He's our hiding place, my hiding place from the trials of life. You know, I don't always run there. Don't always run there. Now, there's times that I let my imagination run wild. There's times that we're running everywhere of what could be rather than running to the One we know who is and care for us and meet the need. Christian, you need to make a conscious choice tonight. When the troublesome times come, run under His wings. Run to Him. Run to Him. Abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Dwell in the secret place. Fix your heart on Him. Sanctify your emotions. Live in His truth. And let me tell you what's going to happen in verse number 5. We're going to pick it up next week. Are you ready for it? Thou shalt not be afraid. Wow. You ever afraid? I am. I've been. I'm glad that when we're in the secret place, we don't have to be afraid. Thou shalt not. That's good, isn't it? Don't have to live in my fears. We can live in faith. We just have to make a decision where we want to live. We can live in the valley of trouble, or we can abide under His wings. Where do you want to be tonight? Maybe you need to come tonight. Maybe you need to draw near to the heart of God. Maybe tonight you've been going everywhere else but to God. Maybe tonight you need to bring it to Him. Maybe you need to run to the place of safety. Maybe you need a hiding place tonight to bring your burden, your care, your hurt, your trial, your struggle, your fear, to bring it to Him. God knows your need tonight. He's waiting. He's waiting. And He wants you to abide, to dwell under His wings. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Father, take